Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom.
I'm Drackle.
And this week on Flash in the Pan, we've got a special guest. We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan. Hi, and welcome back to Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
The podcast that drags your memories kicking and screaming from the dial-up days of yore. And this time, as mentioned earlier, we have a very special guest with us. The creator of our artwork for our podcast, and also generally lovely podcasting guy. It's Drackle.
Hello.
Hi, Drackle.
Hi.
Hi. So, before we get started, why don't you tell our lovely listeners a little bit about yourself and your history with the wonderful medium of Flash?
Well, I have been watching... I am a child of the mid-90s, the early to mid-90s, which meant I watched a lot of cartoons. And then once we had the internet, I discovered the wonders of Newgrounds, and also many of the horrors of Newgrounds.
But, yes.
Yeah, I can say I've spent hours of my childhood watching Flash cartoons, usually not liking them, but some of them were definitely rooted in my nostalgia now. A lot of the ones that you guys have already covered are ones that I watched like dozens of times.
Yeah,
I think that's true for a lot of people.
Yeah. Any in particular?
Like for the Madness videos, for one. I've seen all of those multiple times. The Dad's Home from the previous episode.
Yes.
And the sequel, which you should do, Dad's at Work.
It's definitely on the list.
Yes, it's definitely on the list to do.
I think there was also a game based on
there that. There was, yes. Yeah. We talked about it last time.
The Ultimate Battle, obviously.
Yes.
There's never a lot of games as well that I don't know if you've talked about. I don't think so, but there were a lot of games back then that I used to play as well.
We haven't gone on to the games yet. We're working out the best way to do that, but it's a future project thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what have you brought for us this time? What's the first thing that you're going to be subjecting us to?
Well, as an artist who is also interested in animation, but I'm not good at it myself, I wanted to talk about the first Flash animation that actually really impressed me, and that was the Brackenwood series.
Brackenwood.
Okay.
Cool.
Mainly the Bitey series, because there are Brackenwood things that aren't about that character, but he's the star of most of them.
Okay.
Sounds good. Yeah. Right. So, we will... go away, we will watch some Brackenwood stuff, and we will be with you after this. And we're back.
Yeah.
We've just been taken by our lovely guest Drackle on a fascinating tour of the saga of Bitey of Brackenwood.
Yeah.
It was like
a hike through Brackenwood.
A hike through Brackenwood, yeah. It felt like a nice hike.
It did, yeah.
Like, it was really pretty. There was a real sense of progression.
Mm.
But you got to know the environment and the surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I have a bad word to say about it, honestly. It's just
aside from the amount of pee jokes... Maybe.
And there is so much pee.
I mean, I think that comes with the territory of being Flash animated stuff on Newgrounds in the 2000s.
You got to give the people what they want.
It simultaneously revels in Newgrounds spirit, but is also leagues above it in every other way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you've got your pee, you've got your poo, you've got. I was surprised that there were no farts, honestly.
There were.
Mm-hmm. Was there?
That little...
Oh, of course,
sorry, fart bags.
It was literally the first thing that happened in the first video was a fart.
You're right. Yeah. That's a testament to how immersed I was. Like, when it showed up again, I was like, oh yeah, that's just the noise it makes. I, my brain wasn't connecting that to it did a fart with its mouth.
Fart joke.
Yeah. So I hadn't seen this before at all. So I think I was vaguely aware that it existed.
Yeah. But, I've got, like,
they were
vague.
Very popular on Newgrounds, like the years.
Oh, yeah, just from the numbers.
Yeah, like every episode that came out was like front page, most voted the day it came out, the week it came out.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Even the first one, which is much scruffier than the others, looks so good.
Yeah, like, the animation is so... It's so impressively fluid, and I think we were kind of saying, like, it is impressive for being Flash animated, it being, like, that level of quality.
Yeah, like, these videos were the first time I ever realized that Flash was even capable of good animation.
Yeah.
I was used to, at the time, I was used to Flash being just something people, they either made games with it that were kind of crap to okay, or just fart videos of Mario sprites farting.
Sonic the Hedgehog with a gun.
Yeah. Oh, what if Sonic had a gun?
With a photo of a gun, not an action. Not a
of course. Yeah, so a photo that's been photoshopped around very carefully.
Yeah.
Or just endless stick fight videos.
Which, like, there are so many of.
Which there are good ones of those, but the quality of the usual Newgrounds stuff at the time was just... These things were on a whole other level.
Yeah, and you can really tell that there are so many little details and little attention to detail that you just don't see in a lot of other contemporary Flash stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's above a lot of Flash stuff I see today, even.
Yeah, I think that's fair, including stuff that's, like, on telly.
Yeah, I would say that. It's, like, what really struck me was just, like, I mean, we're going to get into, like, what he's got, like, a long background, like, history and, like, actual, like, legit animation studios, but it's got such a good use of shading and like color theory,
and squash and stretch,
ability
to make things appear that they're moving very fast and smoothly.
And also, like, actual character design. You can tell just from a few frames of animation of any of the characters or any of the creatures what that thing's deal is.
Which I
really enjoy.
Excellent characterization.
And he does a lot of like really brave, I think, character designs for animation, especially even in traditional animation, having characters that are just covered entirely in hair that's supposed to be flowing around, or
and they're making it flow around.
The fart character, which is really just a big sack of fat that rolls around. Like, that would be so time consuming to make.
And it's very fluid. Yeah.
Or in one of the later ones, there's a monster that is just a smoke monster that is flowing around and making different shapes, and
that was so impressive to look at.
That was really cool. Yeah. So should we talk about each individual short's, like, plot or happenings at least?
Yeah.
So, like, the first one, Bicey follow. There's a fart creature.
Yes.
They're called fat sacks.
There is a fat sack, which is a fart creature, and who is set upon by this sort of hairy satyr thing called Bitey of Brackenwood, whose face is just hair with Newgrounds eyes.
Yeah.
Newgrounds eyes.
It did have very Newgrounds eyes.
Who just sort of bullies it for a bit, then kicks it, and it makes a very satisfying sort of dodgeball noise.
It sounds exactly like a dodgeball. He's, like, bouncing it on his head and kicking it around, and it sounds like he's kicking a dodgeball.
That's another thing, is, like, it's a really excellent use of
Foley.
Like, Foley.
Yeah, the Foley is really good.
Yeah,
I really enjoy it. When the fat sacks are glorping around, you hear them glorping around, like these great liquidy noises. And then he falls afoul of a really cool witch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who lives in a cottage and is called Lemony Wee. According to the credits.
Lemony Wee and her big blue naked man.
And the big blue naked man.
This disgusting naked man.
Yeah, I hated the blue naked man. I didn't like to look at him.
I think I mentioned while we were watching, like, is this Salad Fingers his cousin?
It was just, like, his exposed, like, he's, like, really, like, wrinkly and saggy. And has nipples on show.
You get the impression
sort of got covered in, like, downy hair. And, yuck. Yeah, and then the witch with some like really cool, well animated water magic.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The water in all of them looks really cool.
Mm, yeah.
But like, especially compared to the rest of the animation in the first one, the water magic was just cool. It looked pretty. It looked gloopy.
Yeah. It's really interesting because this was made in 2004. This was the first. It wasn't the first Brackenwood short. There were two others before this, one starring the fat naked man and another starring this little goblin elf creature that'll appear later.
Yeah.
And this was the first Bitey short, and even then, the animation was amazingly smooth. One of the things this animator is so good at is making things move fast.
Yeah.
Which normally is just impossible for so many people using Flash. Like,
yeah.
I can't think, there are so few Flash animations where things don't look like they're just chugging along.
Yeah. And there are some, like, I think the vast majority of Flash animations, things just stand there.
Yeah.
Yeah, motion itself is so rare. Especially not hand animated sequences. Like, if you're getting movement, it's mostly going to be tweens and stuff. But this was a mix of tweens with hand animation, like
And so what do you mean by hand animation for those who might not know?
Well, so basically the difference would be for a hand animation, I mean, he drew the character and then drew them in a different position, then drew them in a different position versus
frame by frame.
Yeah, sort of frame by frame drawing the characters.
Traditional animation stuff.
I mean, traditional digital, but still in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
Versus tweening, where you are moving you're just basically grabbing the object, the drawing in Flash, and moving the entire drawing, not making a new one, just moving it around, which can be done very, very badly.
Yes, that's very true.
It can look very bad. If that's the only thing you're doing to animate, it looks very bad. And there is an example of that, which I think will be a later episode. But this one, he makes a very good blend of those two styles to make this thing move very fluidly and fast in a way that it doesn't look cheap.
It doesn't look cheap.
It doesn't. It looks. I mean, you compare this to a lot of other even professionally made Flash stuff at the time. You think about like the Critic Flash animated series that they tried to do after the show got canceled.
There was a Flash animated series of the Critic.
Yeah, and it was not. It was like a tenth of the animation of this.
I'm just picturing the critic, the titular critic, on like an end slate of a Flash video, going, "Buy my shirt."
It basically looks like the logo I drew for the show.
Oh goodness!
It looks very bad. I think some other early Flash animated stuff where it was just you could tell they had no idea what they were doing.
But this is the new hotness. We've got to get on this.
And so this was so different from that. And then
yeah,
I mean, we know why. It's because this person was actually knew how to animate.
Yeah, and you can tell, like, because as you go from short to short, so the second short, you can already see that he's trying more things and he's honing his skills, like. I think I said, like, right at the start of the second short, wow, these backgrounds look even better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the background artwork continues to look better and continues to look more, not realistic, but, like, to be more evocative of, like, what it feels like to be lost in the countryside somewhere.
Absolutely.
It adds more and more depth and detail to it without just making it look like realism. He has a style that he sticks to. He just refines it at every short.
Yeah. So the second one starts with a classic a lizard creature wakes him up and then does a poo on his front on his front doorstep.
It like a lizard woodpecker thing that cuts a hole in his tree and then shits in his drinking pond. His little drinking
pond.
And it pokes him in the eye. Yeah.
So there is this running theme in all the Bitey shorts is that Bitey is a dick. He bullies all the creatures of the forest and then usually gets some sort of comeuppance at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, it's classic sort of children's book stuff, really.
Yeah.
I would not have been surprised if it had turned out that, like, there was a Bitey children's book series or something like that.
Oh. It definitely feels like something that could have easily been a children's book.
Yeah, in the vein of, like, the Gruffalo or that kind of thing. Where, like, you've got this world with this cast of characters that they can have various adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, although for the children's book, they'd probably take out the...
the gross hairy man.
Yeah.
Okay, the gross hairy man and the turds.
I don't know about taking out a gross hairy man. Like, I've seen some fucked up shit. We've probably all seen some fucked up shit that belongs apparently in media for children.
Okay, that's fair. Second episode is the one where he is tricked into the piss river.
Yeah, there's these little sort of amphibious looking things called Prowlies, and they're sort of these playful little things, and he's like bullying them. He gets into a fight with them. There's some good effects in this fight, like the way he swings. He's like grabbing them by the tail and swinging them around.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of that fight is the bit where one of them just grabbed him, and there's just like a pause, and then just slugged him in the face.
Yeah.
And I like the bit where he went across the river and then just like Super Saiyan Goku sped like instantaneously sped across the river.
That was so cool.
Yeah, I think this is the part where, like, because I think he was clearly fast in the previous one, but this is where he starts getting into, like, superhuman speed.
This is where he starts to test his ability.
Like, he bullies them out of the river, and he starts drinking in the river, and then they all start laughing, and he looks up, and there's this gross little goblin boy peeing in the river right in front of him.
Yes. Yeah, who apparently is also a recurring Brackenwood character.
Yeah, although I think he appeared in one of the ones before Bitey. I think his name is
Pissy
Bing
the
Bong,
Goblin.
Bing Bong the Forest.
Bing Bong, that's his name. Yeah, you saw this. Bing Bong. Yeah. And the third one was a two-parter.
Yeah.
Because with Littlefoot, who is this adorable teddy bear Bigfoot child, that Bitey doesn't really bully that much.
He kind of approaches.
Just an asshole.
He approaches it, and then it freaks out and starts like ripping his fur out and stuff and attacking him. So he grabs this thing and he's like holding it away, and then the mother Bigfoot, who has already met Bitey once before in the first one, this Bigfoot is kind of the character that sort of usually gives Bitey his comeuppance for being a dick. And,
which is fair.
But then but the thing is that in this one, Bitey wasn't initially at fault. The Littlefoot did sort of freak out and try to attack him. But then he made it worse by running.
He throws a clod of
throws mud in the mama Bigfoot's face and then runs away, and then they throw rocks at him.
Like, and the end of it is really fun. There's like proper comic timing. The giant rock he just dodges, and then the little one hits him in the face, and it's like,
And then he lays there passed out while, like, there's this time-passing effect that's really impressive.
Yeah, that was neat.
Like, you watch the daylight go switch to sunset and night comes in and all that. It's really smooth.
And then part two is a music video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one was called The UU, and it was... What had happened is that he apparently had asked a musician to make an intro song for this series... And the guy ended up making a full-length theme song for Brackenwood, and he just set this video to that song.
Yeah, and it looks brilliant.
It
like,
does. Yeah.
Like, the last one we watched was, like, really impressive, but I think just in terms of, like, him pulling out all the stops animation-wise...
I think the
music video, I think, is my favorite of them.
I would say that
Yeah, this
well.
Is most impressive of all of them. Like, this is the one where the smoke monster... that I mentioned earlier comes in and it's chasing, trying to sort of envelop Bitey, and he's just running away from it at like insane speeds that
ridiculous speed, like Naruto running.
We've mentioned like the really impressive conveyance of speed, but like that video in particular, you really do feel it. I've seen like professionally like animated stuff that's not in Flash which has failed to like capture that amount of momentum.
Like even professionally made anime often fails to make things look like they're going fast.
Yeah.
Although recently, Devilman Crybaby running that is as cool.
If Mighty had done the Devilman run, it would have been much better. Watch out! Look, get out of the way, Naruto. There's a new run in town.
And then the music video ends with him, like, finally sort of not cornering the smoke monster, but deciding to just, like, turn and beat it up.
Yeah.
And he breaks it up with some karate kicks and so on. And it turns out, well, it doesn't turn out, because he already knew, but it's made of, like, these tiny little smoke goblins.
Yeah.
That he just stomps to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was the first one where Bitey was sort of not in the wrong. Because they were trying to kill him. But
yeah, or at least engulf him.
Yeah, and there was a weird effect there that I just noticed. I never noticed until this viewing, was that when he was inside the cloud, there was this, like, desolate landscape that was different from the forest. So I don't know what that meant, but it was a neat effect. But again, yeah. This is so impressive that they managed to mix the sense of speed, but also this smoke monster, like, billowing out and changing shapes and moving.
Oh, the smoke
around.
Looks so good.
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Like, I don't know how, because he, at this point, the author was putting out, I think, one a year. So I don't even know how he did it in a year.
For a 3-minute animation, it's that one in particular is so dense.
That looks like it would have taken at least, like, just that animation alone, like, 2 years.
Yeah, especially if you're doing this as a hobby.
Yeah, for one person, and he was doing this part-time while doing other freelance work, so it was really impressive that he managed to do this.
Did we talk about the use of 3D?
We didn't.
There's a part where he's speeding through a forest, and some of the trees that he's swinging on are literally 3D objects.
3D models, yeah.
That is, like, mind-blowing for Flash at the time.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw a 3D thing in Flash, and it was in something we'll get to another time. Uh-huh. But
it wasn't the first time for me, because there was that one Zhao Zhao game where it was a first-person shooter.
Oh.
And there were 3D objects in that one, but they were just, but that was like
making that work in Flash.
Yeah, making it work in Flash, and also like the example I just made up was, that was like a wireframe, basically. This was a fully colored, fully rendered 3D object blended.
It had shading.
That blended into the environment, like, perfectly.
Yeah, it didn't look out of place, like, so often 3D stuff, like, you see it.
Even professional stuff.
I can tell. It's like, yeah.
Oh yeah, like there'll be like an episode of Family Guy.
Oh yeah, where the car is a 3D model for absolutely no reason. It looks so bad.
I mean, not the Family Guy looks good ever.
Well, usually what they do in animation for that is they would make the car in 3D and trace over it, so it still looks like a 2D object and fits in the world. But Family Guy doesn't bother with that. They just put a they just put their N64 car model in the game in the show and.
I think you could have just stopped at Family Guy doesn't bother.
Yeah.
But you know who does bother is the maker of the last thing that we watched. The last Bitey thing we watched, which was like a full short film size.
This was a nine... Yeah, this one was 9 minutes long. The other ones were all like 2 or 3 minutes long.
Yeah. And like, it's got a proper story, you know? Yes. There's an inciting incident. There are consequences, and there's conclusions.
There's character development. It actually had a professional score.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. So according to you, and you can correct me, but he got an actual musician. Was it the same musician as the music video?
I don't think so. It was the person who... I think it was the thing that Newgrounds paid for. Because I think, cause at this point, this was the fifth, I believe, Bitey short, and every single one of them had been huge on Newgrounds, so I think that his previous one had won an award. He's won several animation awards, but I think Newgrounds actually got involved and actually got him a composer to make a score for this short, and apparently it's the person who scored the old Tomb Raider games.
Which is pretty impressive.
That's really cool.
But yeah, so like, it's a full animated short with like incidental music and everything.
Mm.
And Bitey, after supping from a flavor orb full of goo.
Several flavor orbs.
Which
he
full
stole
of goo.
From the Hairy Naked Man. He was back.
Yeah, which is fair. I think that's fair.
He did redesign.
The Hairy Naked
the
Man.
The character was redesigned. He didn't look quite as gross as he did earlier.
Yeah, he didn't look
He does have more protruding hairs, though.
Yeah.
So it's...
I guess I was just trying not to...
Swings around about.
He created flabs for weird hair.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say abs. I was like, where?
No.
What Bitey fan art have you been drawing?
Yeah, but...
Naked blue guy is suddenly completely ripped.
Yeah, but he takes these like weird little like orbs of water and he eats them all. And apparently, it turns out that they expand if they take too much like physical force. So there's this little bit where he like imagines his. It's like seamlessly he imagines himself like patting his stomach, and then he just inflates and explodes.
Yes,
and it pops back into reality in a very smooth way.
So like again, the same kind of techniques that he uses to animate the fat bag,
fat sack.
Yeah, where it's sort of squashing and rolling and so on. Mm-hmm. Like he does the same kind of thing with Bitey's stomach.
Yeah, all throughout the short and basically the story is just that Bitey he can't move. So because if he tries to move too much, he thinks he'll explode. So he keeps running into all the creatures that he's dicked over in the past episodes.
Yeah, it's like. It's like the sequence of MGS3.
All the ghosts of all the animals he's kicked around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and he goes back through like revisiting the cast that we've met so far, but like wishing them no ill will this time.
Because he's in a lot of pain.
Because he knows that they'll beat him up on sight and he'll probably die.
Yeah.
Everything hates him.
Like everyone in the forest.
Even the spiders and the insects attack him on sight.
He didn't really wrong the spider, though. He's just afraid of it.
Oh, yeah. I really liked the beginning of this one because he is so visibly frightened of this spider that, like, it makes him really jumpy and, like, shivery. I'm like, completely the same. Mm. Like, spiders wig me out to that degree.
Yeah, and when he's in the cave full of spiders, he lets out this, like, blood-curdling scream that sounds like it was an actual voice-acted scream, not a...
Yes.
Yeah. Scream, which was...
Yeah, that's a classic technique that goes all the way back to Tom and Jerry. Mm. Like, even the oldest Tom and Jerry cartoons, like, when Tom, like, got hit with a, I don't know, a board with a...
Oh, yeah, he let out that, like, grown man scream that did not fit at all.
Yeah, and that's one of the best recurring gags.
Yeah, it was so weird and unfitting. And then the worst use of it was, of course, the Tom and Jerry Willy Wonka movie. Just because I had to watch that movie hear it.
Yeah, we did watch the Tom and Jerry Willy Wonka movie, and don't.
And now I have no will to live anymore.
We only have will to podcast.
Yeah, so, I mean, overall, I did prefer the previous one to this one.
Yeah,
just because of the animation, like this one, like just by the nature of the story he's telling, you can't really have the sort of fast moving action.
No, at one point he's literally crawling on his stomach across a field.
Yeah,
I think it's nice to see the contrast.
Yeah,
it's a very different story. It's more character based.
To see that he's like quite a versatile animator, I think that's a good display of that.
Mm-hmm. I think this was the best background work of all.
Oh yeah,
The backgrounds look so they have so much depth to them,
and there is a little bit of parallax scrolling where the camera pans down the mountains to the field and so on, or there's this flying creature that the camera's on, and then the camera zooms all the way out so you see the full vista.
It's like this little jellyfish thing that flies in the air, and it's like swooping in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing that I think makes the backgrounds look so good is his use of color.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because he really blends in, like when things are in the distance, he blends in some blue colors to make them look like they're sort of partially obscured by the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Which is something that, that's one of the things that makes backgrounds, environments, even in both 2D art and 3D art and everything, look so much better. Mm. If it was just an expansive green and then a big block of blue... It looks flat, but adding in those different colors really makes it feel like a world.
So I think it's probably about time to learn a bit more about the guy behind Bitey, and I think that means it's time for Flash.
So
Drackel, please educate us on the guy behind Bitey.
Yeah, so this was made by a guy named Adam Phillips. He was an Australian animator, and he started out in animation all the way back in 1993. He got a job for Disney,
Wow.
And he worked as a character animator, an effects animator, and things like that. Basically, he had several different jobs as in their studio. And he worked at Disney for about 11 years. I think he mainly worked on, like, sequels to things. I don't have his IMDb in front of me, so I don't know specifically what movies he worked on for Disney, but I think it was mainly their sequels.
Mm-hmm. Which is ironic, because most of the Disney sequels are animated awful. Less well than...
Yeah. I think less well is putting it mildly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he worked at Disney for about 10 years, and then in 2001 was when he started doing Brackenwood shorts in his spare time.
Oh, that long ago.
Mm-hmm. And then so the first one, Bitey of Brackenwood, was released in 2004. And around the same time, he started working on a game based on that short called Brackensack, which was a game where you bounce the little fart bag on your head for points.
Okay. And you have to, like, not let it fall.
Yeah. I think he quit Disney in 2004 to sort of basically do his personal animation full-time, work as a freelancer.
That's very brave.
Yeah.
He didn't, like, get fired, quit.
Yeah, he just left because he wanted to work on his own stuff. And the idea of leaving Disney to go make Flash cartoons in 2004...
Yeah.
Doesn't sound a very good idea.
Yeah, it's a very brave move, to say the least. I mean, he didn't do his own stuff full-time. He did work as a freelance animator for a number of companies over the years. He worked for Wizards of the Coast. He worked for BioWare.
Wow.
For a while. He did animation. I think he did effects work for all three Dragon Age games.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
As well as a bunch of, like, Facebook games and browser games as well. And then.
Well, you got to get work somewhere.
Yeah. So the Water Lollies was the last one that we watched. That was made in 2007. He kind of went away for a long time. He came back in 2009 with another short. It was basically Bitey's backstory.
Okay.
Talking about how he's, like, the last of his species and things like that. And then he kind of went away again for a long time. He started doing more educational stuff. Like, he wrote a textbook on animating in Toon Boom, which is the software that most animation studios use nowadays.
I think I might have actually, like, read that book.
What, really?
Possibly. It's possible.
I don't...
It sounds...
Because you had a couple of animation classes at uni.
And also, like, I was friends with a lot of animation students at university. And we did a lot of, like, there's a lot of crossover between my film course and...
Hold up.
So called, have you ever seen the book? Go on.
It's called Animate to Harmony, The Independent Animator's Guide to Toon Boom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've read that book.
Wow, what a connection.
Yeah, so basically, I think he kind of did a mix of that. He was also working on his game for a long time, but then I think it sort of fell apart at some point. But in 2017, the long... Which feels like a decade ago at this point. Given
last
world
year.
Events. He started streaming artwork on Twitch. And he announced that he was not only reviving the Brackenwood story, he was making three Brackenwood-based games.
Three?
So he's bringing back Brackensack, and it's now currently in early access on Steam.
Oh, wow.
Crikey.
And he is also making a game starring Bitey called, it's called Dashkin, which is a multiplayer racing game, a racing platform game.
Okay, cool.
Kind of like Speedrunners, I think is the name of it. It looks kind of like that. And he's also working on an adventure game based on the Brackenwood stuff.
Oh,
and
that
sounds
good.
Like a really good idea, just in terms of the environment and the world he's made. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to this day, you can catch him streaming his game development process on Twitch.
That's really
cool.
That's
neat.
Wow. That's, yeah.
Wow, I'm really jazzed about that. Like, the fact that it's, like, coming back, like, soon.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it until you recommended it, Drackle. But, like, I want more.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really surprised I didn't see it before. Like.
Yeah, it feels like having grown up and, like, never heard an Oasis song.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that when I find a new Gorillaz song I haven't seen or heard before.
Oh, I know, right?
Just looking at some of the... He's also won a lot of awards for his animation, looking at...
That does not surprise me.
There was a Flash Forward, which is a film festival for Flash animation, and he won awards. He's won awards from, like, 2003 to 2008, like, every year. He won awards there.
I mean, again, not surprising.
Yeah, he also won some Webby Awards for the Brackenwood series. And he got the Newgrounds... what was it? What do they call it?
The NG
Tank Award for Best Movie of 2007.
Nice.
That's a good thing to...
the most prestigious of all animation awards.
That's something to, that's something to call your mum about, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Mom, I got the Tank Award. Tom Fulp gave me a pat on the back in person.
So, we've got some comments from the first Bitey and the last Bitey that we watched. Mm-hmm. Drackle, would you like to read the first one, and then we can go around?
Sure.
Okay. So the first comment from Mr. Smeggers, March 29th, 2004. If I am not correct, this may be the first Perfect 10 I have ever given, and the first time I've ever bothered to review a Flash in almost a year. Brilliant. I truly hope you do more in this vein soon.
Nice. And similarly, Koffler on the same day said, I'm going to move away from the mic for this. You are a pro! You are ready to face Miyazaki!
Like in a fight to the death? Or...
like in a fight to the death?
Like, what is that? You're gonna face it?
To be fair, Miyazaki would probably punch him in the face if he found out he animated in Flash.
Probably.
Yeah.
Miyazaki
is not a fan of computer animation.
Oh, no, that's well established. Yeah. Alex.
Okay, let's see. Sweetbad said, the best, make more, my man. Please make more. It's a must-see movie, and that's what I could say. Bye to your friend, Sweetbad. Oh, that's kind of sweet.
That's my rap name, Sweetbad.
Sweetbad? Yeah. The lost Strongbad cousin. We've got some from Water Lollies, including a couple of negative ones.
Oh, dear.
But, Draco, if you want to take the glowing review we have at the top there.
Cool movie! I love this movie. Funny, cool, and with good moral. Morale. It had a good mushroom in it. The graphics.
Is that where it just ends? The graphics?
Yeah, it just says the graphics.
The graphics, it was
overwhelmed,
period.
And had to stop typing.
There is an emoji in there.
Yeah. Well, it's auto-corrected to an emoji, but it was just
an emoticon. As we called them in the times.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Back in the puppet times. Not everyone loved Water Lollies, though. King of BBQ, the barbecue king himself, gave it 0 stars. And this was a year after it came out, and said, okay, I'm being serious this time. Your graphics are the only thing great about this. Obviously, all of these 10s are for the graphics, because there's no plot. Just random creatures with a cocky main creature always getting in trouble. Yeah, that's original. If there was actually funny stuff happening, that would help your score, from me, too. But since no one talks and it's just one guy getting beaten, it's not funny.
I feel like half the people that leave negative reviews on these things, like, they're not watching the same thing that we're watching.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, comedy is something that people went to Newgrounds for.
Yeah.
And so I imagine for not a small amount of people, watching a cartoon that wasn't just comedy would have been kind of jarring.
A serious cartoon would not have flied on Newgrounds at this time. This was Fart Central. In 2000.
Fart Central?
There was still farts in it.
It was new. This was peak New Donk City.
And Alex, you want to take the last one there?
Chris Jitz. I'm sorry, but I wasn't very entertained. The music was very good, but there was no real storyline. It was animated like you have incredible talent that was underutilized, and most of all, it was boring. I know many are saying this is the best Flash ever at Newgrounds, so maybe it's me. Yeah. My suggestion is to give your stuff more substance, okay, and not assume being very imaginative, which you are, is all you need. I like the music, though.
What? So Chris Jitt gave him 1.5 stars, and I picked this one out because Schluade, who is the creator, replied to this comment.
Oh, I see that, yeah.
and said, "Don't apologize, it's not for everyone." Winky face.
Aww. He knows how to take criticism.
Yeah, and actually, if you go back through the comments, a lot of the comments, even more recent comments, than, you know, because often you get animators like replying to comments that are like, you know, the first 20 or so.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this guy would go through and reply to comments with like serious criticism in.
Yeah.
And seemed pretty chill about it. Which is nice.
Yeah, makes
obviously
sense.
Obviously, not got a massive ego, despite the fact he worked at fucking Disney.
Yeah, I know, right? So, that was Bitey. You've also brought us another classic that you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Which is much less chill and much less whimsical.
Yeah.
Which is
Super Mario Brothers Z.
And we are back, and we are now freshly off watching Super Mario Bros. Z, episodes 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
And
the
then,
original.
Yeah, the original episodes 1 and 2, and then the 2016 remake of the first two parts.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, there's a lot to get to.
There's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So, Dracula, you brought this wonderful thing back into our lives, so why don't you start us off here?
Yeah, so the main background is that this was also one that was like super popular on Newgrounds at the time. I think the first one was made in 2006. So
yeah.
The remake was a decade later. But yeah, that was one that I remember seeing. I actually didn't see it until a few episodes had come out. And I remember just binge watching them and thinking, I'm like really impressed by them. Like, they're not as impressive as the Bitey cartoons in terms of
they're trying to accomplish a very different thing.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going for very different things. Yeah, that was one of the ones that I would watch over and over again just because I liked, like, the action was fast paced and the inventive use of sprite work. I thought was interesting.
The actual sprites that he's using, he's pulling from all sorts of places.
Like,
the Mario and Luigi games, Mario World, Yoshi's Island, Kirby for the characters
the
in the crowd.
Yeah, the crowd, Wario Land 4.
Yeah, and some custom sprites.
Custom Waluigi.
For Waluigi.
There were definitely custom made sprites in this.
And it shows.
And
but like, they're good. They're good ones.
And there were some hand drawn effects as well, like the Super Saiyan aura.
Yeah,
clearly drawn in Flash.
I know, like, the vision of seeing Mario like generate a Kaioken energy aura was incredibly good. I think the main difference between the originals and the remake in terms of structure is that in the original, it's not a fighting thing, it's a race that happens.
They're basically playing Double Dash.
With all
four
the rules
person
of
Double Dash.
Yeah.
And they're doing weird things like, oh, I'm gonna... Luigi feeds a mushroom to their car and it goes fast.
Yeah, I did like that the race starts with just like, oh no, Mario's car got bombed.
A lot of bombings.
There are a lot of explosions and bombings and all sorts of things. Like, I do like that.
I hope you like 16-bit explosion effects.
Oh, I love 16-bit explosion effects.
Yeah, nothing better.
No.
Yeah, because in the remake, instead of the kart race, it's a proper Smash Brothers tournament.
Yeah,
it is very, very reminiscent of the World Martial Arts Tournament from Dragon Ball. The original,
yeah, down to the
it's
design of
set
the
on
arena.
The same arena, yeah.
It doesn't have the and it needs the announcer, but they did.
Well,
they did get a good announcer in the remake, which was Rock Hawk, the greatest
Mario
character ever made.
He's so good. So like, so in terms of parallels with Dragon Ball Z, before we watched the remake, I was talking with Alex and I was saying we were like trying to
equate like Mario and DBZ characters to each other.
Yeah, and the first one that came to mind is that. Well, obviously, Rock Hawk is Hercule / Mr. Satan.
Yeah.
And then what do you know? In the second one, he shows up in exactly in a Mr. Satan commentary thing.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I was really pleased when he showed up.
Very similar kinds of character archetypes. But yeah, yeah. I mean, the one thing I'll say is that the first episode, the first two that we, the original series, there wasn't a whole lot of Dragon Ball-ness in it.
Yeah, it's just kind of a fast-paced fight.
It definitely uses the music and the sound effects. It was mostly just some sprite fights with some Dragon Ball Z sound effects put in. It really, later on in the series, it really ramps up the DBZ quality. Once people the author got at animation and doing the effects, the more they were able to, like, I can actually make auras on these characters now. Let's do this.
Well, it is a little bit like that in the second original episode. What with the you think Bowser's been beat, but then oh no, he's got a second form.
Yeah.
So that's very evocative of DBZ.
Which is he put on a Photoshop filter.
Yeah, put on a good reverse filter. That's bad. That's not good to look at.
And then in the remake, it's still bad.
It's not as bad, but it's still not great.
It's kind of weird, because we haven't really talked about the plot, but there isn't really that much plot. It's like Mario and Luigi are in this competition against Mario and Waluigi. Bowser interferes and has a fight with Mario and Luigi. And then at the very end, a pod falls from the sky, lands on Bowser, and out comes two mysterious hedgehogs.
Oh no, how mysterious.
Yeah. But yeah, I just wanted to get that out of the way. So, because I think that the thing, the reboot is one that really impressed me when it came out, just because you can see how much the author improved in animation over the decade between them. I mean, I remember being impressed at the time, in the first one, because, I mean, I was a kid, first of all, because I was impressed by anything. Well. But also, like he did use some, there's some After Effects work in the original one. There's some motion blur, some, smoke effects and stuff. And the newer one, I think he learned a lot of actual animation techniques.
The new one, he did...
and stretching and going crazy.
Like, we were 5 minutes into watching the remake, and one of us said, this isn't just Flash, is it? Yeah, this guy is using all of the animation chops he can muster.
It's there's a full editing suite in there. Flash is in there, but also, he's using After Effects as well, you can tell.
Yeah, it's cool, and for the most part, it really works. My favorite parts of the remake are when there'll be a key close-up frame that he's drawn himself.
Oh god, that's so good. Yeah.
And occasionally there'll be two or three frames that he's drawn, like Luigi's eyebrow twitching or something.
Yeah.
And it's oh wow, this guy could properly draw and stuff.
I love that so much. Yeah,
the author is an actual artist outside of sprite work, which probably
you can tell, because it almost gets to the point where a couple of times during the remake, I was thinking he could have just, obviously the remake was crowdfunded. But he could have done.
Probably.
He's clearly storyboarded this stuff out. Mm-hmm. He's clearly planned all of these individual shots, down to some pretty close detail of, the way the camera moves. And the camera really moves. It sweeps,
it really does.
Pans, it zooms.
You go all the way around the arena.
Yeah. And...
Yeah. Up into the sky, looking down at
it's really super, and I'm really glad that he was able to blend this really old school sprite animation style with this new dynamic
I was really impressed by the squashing and stretching of sprites that somehow didn't look awful. Especially Wario, for some reason, is really animated in this.
When
Mario
that.
And Wario are fighting, Wario's mouth gets huge and he's chomping around.
That looked great.
That bit where he forms Waluigi into a bat and he starts doing the Sonic run with the two circles. And he does this cartoon thing where his legs run first and then the rest of his body stretches out.
We both love the joke where he picked up the Smash trophy and it was Waluigi, and then he looks over and Waluigi's
back to where Waluigi was, he teleported 2 feet over.
Yeah.
I like the gag of that where Waluigi gets out his racket, but he just fights like he does in the actual game, so he just runs up and tries to stomp Mario constantly.
Yes. And then he succeeds.
Yeah,
it's very pleasing.
Did you like the part where Wario, they get Wario up in the air and Wario bends over and is aiming a fart at him, using his butt cheeks to triangulate the exact trajectory of his fart?
That started happening and I went, oh no.
I really enjoyed like the arse eye view of Mario hanging
in
the air.
That may be the worst sentence I've ever heard you say.
Yeah,
I did like how the creativeness of the attacks that the characters were using sort of fit with each other like really well. Like the way, like I think at one point Bowser does the like pile driving body slam that he does in Smash Brothers.
He did a bunch of his Smash Brothers moves.
And Mario fights a lot like, you know, a Goku does. Like he's flying around.
He's definitely Goku.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there is a part where they literally, Mario and Bowser shoot fireballs at each other and they have a beam struggle.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, which is classic.
Is just so special.
That is exactly what...
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of that in the original series as well. Like, later on when Yoshi becomes one of the Z fighters, he really uses his tongue a lot.
Yeah, I know that Yoshi's in it, but I haven't watched far enough yet. So, like, my experience of Mario Bros. Z is I think I saw the Mario versus Bowser fight, like, once.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, 2006, this would have been when I was, like, 15, 16, and I was starting to get out of being into sprite animation or sprite comics as a thing, eventually. And so, like, I remember watching it and appreciating it, but not really wanting to go back, probably out of a sense of self-imposed...
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm too old for this now.
I'm a grown-up now. I don't have time for this baby stuff. Yeah, I mean, I've seen all of them many, many times over the course of my life. And for me, I think the best moment in that series was when it was Mario, Luigi, Sonic, Shadow, and Yoshi versus the Axum Rangers from
Mario
RPG.
I've seen that
and
fucking fight.
It was a three-way fight because there was another faction that was involved, but I can't remember who they were.
I remember that. I remember watching that and being
they're
like,
fighting
oh,
on
this
Yoshi
is the
Island.
Coolest shit.
That one is one that's worth watching on its own because it's a three-way fight between and all the Koopa Troopas, the Koopa brothers
that's
from
right.
Paper Mario are there.
That's right.
And it's this big three-way fight between these three factions, and it's insanity. And it is the most Dragon Ball Z that series
good.
Got.
Yeah,
that sounds pretty cool. I think we're gonna have to revisit it at some point.
Oh yeah.
We talked about the low points, I think, of the original series, which were
there are definitely low points.
The text, the dialogue, which
oof.
In the original one, I believe you had to hit the space bar constantly to skip through the dialogue.
Yeah,
originally it was interactive. The Newgrounds has since re-uploaded them as just streaming videos.
It's just videos, yeah.
Yeah, but they used to be proper flash files, and you could, and you had to click on the text to advance it, which honestly makes sense if you want, you know, to read the text, especially if you're a younger audience member and like reading isn't your strong suit yet.
Yeah, if you don't want to miss the incredible dialogue, like "Great Googly Moogly," which I'm pretty sure somebody says at some point.
Great Googly Moogly.
I don't know if in the past you could... It wasn't as easy to pause Flash.
You had to, like, right-click on it, and then
you had to
pause, and then sometimes that would fuck up.
Uncheck the play button.
Yeah, so, like, if you have a text box right in the middle, then, like, you could just leave the text box up and go and do something else and come back to it.
Going along with the dialogue was also... There was always a sound effect with every sentence that came up, and that also got annoying.
Yes, I can. Yeah, some of the sound effects, like in the remake, when Wario and Waluigi are yelling in victory, that's voice sample
that got that
clip.
Grated just, on you, and it started to grate on me as well. I was like, all right. Come on.
Well, I had that in the original where they punch Bowser out of the arena, and he flies into the camera and has this like Tom and this like Jerry from Tom and Jerry adult man scream.
Yes, no, I think we mentioned it with the bitey stuff. Like, I really enjoy just like out of place adult yelling.
Yeah,
in cartoons.
Yeah. And I feel like that gag was so popular that like a sprite crashes into the camera and cracks the screen.
Yeah. I feel which like again, that that's from Smash Bros. As well.
Mm-hmm.
That was also in Rise of the like the Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom.
It was in Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom. That's another thing is that at the end of one of the first original Mario Brothers Z videos, it gives thanks to Randy Solomon.
He gives Randy Solomon a shout out. That's really nice.
I mean, yeah, he absolutely did.
I've been going through my phone because I noted down on my phone one of the lines from the remake.
Oh god!
Because it's one of my favorite phrases I've ever experienced in a Flash animation.
Go on.
And so one of the Lakitu commentators describes the fight as, quote, a no-holds-barred slobber knocker.
That's a wrestling reference.
Oh, is it?
Is it?
That was Jim Ross's phraseology for a really heated match.
Oh.
A slobber knocker.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
we were both looking at each other like, what the fuck is a slobber knocker?
Yeah, like, I hope that's not it's a sex word thing. It sounds like no. a sex thing.
Well, a lot of wrestling terms do, but that is something that if you grew up in the 90s watching professional wrestling like I did, then you would know the term slobber knocker.
Okay. Well, thank you for educating us.
Yeah, thanks for enlightening us.
I was never a wrestle boy.
No.
Other stuff that didn't really work, especially in the originals. Obviously, some of the effects, the higher fidelity and the higher resolution effects just look kind of jarring.
They stood out.
With the sprites, yeah. And even with, obviously, like he replaced all the effects in the remake, and for the most part they look much better, but some of them, they still look very artificial, and they still look kind of out of place. It's especially jarring in the remake because so many of the effects, like the smoke effects and the debris effects and the energy attacks and all of that, look really, really good. Mm. And he's able to blend these sprites with these transparencies, with these frame-by-frame smoke and cracks or whatever that he's drawn himself.
Yeah.
But occasionally there'll be, like, an explosion or a crater or something, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's from Metal Slug.
Yeah.
This is the Metal Slug explosion, please.
Yeah, which is a great explosion, especially if you're pandering to a Newgrounds audience, which, of course, Newgrounds was originally, way back in the day, a Neo Geo fan site.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because Neo Geo, Newgrounds.
Yeah.
I mean, but there were definitely spots in the remake even where the sprites kind of clashed with the rest of the art. Like in the intro where they have like the Koopalings are like badly cut out, and then there's like drawn characters behind them, like King K. Rool is in shadows behind them for some reason. That also happened in the original, was that you started introducing like characters from Paper Mario and the sprites are a completely different like style to the sprites of Mario and Luigi. Like, it's kind of unavoidable.
One of the things that struck me when watching the remake, especially, since the camera work is so much more dynamic and the camera gets really in the faces of the characters, you can see the individual pixels making up, say, Wario's face. Yeah. And that, and like we watched this on the telly downstairs, right? And that is not, that's like a sprite face of like 24 total pixels does not look good when blown up to the size of a family television. Yeah.
Game Boy Advance sprites are not meant for up close shots.
No, they're meant to be shown like small on a tiny screen or far
very
away.
Far away. Yeah.
So when Wario like, got close always, to the screen, his face just
zoom in for dramatic effect on like 8 pixels, and there's like a circle in the middle. Like, I guess that's his eye.
Yeah. Also, in terms of sprites, and this really made me happy, just because I'm a huge fan of it, is that they, instead of using the Superstar Saga sprites for Bowser in the first one, in the remake they used the Bowser's Inside Story sprites, which are way better and way more expressive and just like convey so much more personality and movement. Not that that was an option in the original, obviously, but I'm glad that he made the switch.
Yeah.
Especially because switching over to a whole new sprite sheet for stuff.
I think there were still a lot of like handmade sprites as well.
Which we really appreciated.
Yeah.
And you could tell, like, which, if you're familiar with the games they're from, you could tell, like, oh, okay, oh, he did that himself. Or like someone did that and he used it. And
it wasn't there, like, a whole, there was a whole list of team of people who made custom sprites.
Yeah. Yeah, like, obviously,
there was
sprites
at least, like,
resource.
Five people
yeah.
that did it, including the guy who made the whole, the damn thing himself.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed, like, the fight is great, but like also like the whole thing doesn't feel like, even though it's like ridiculously amped up past like what Nintendo would ever approve of, it's in character.
Oh yeah.
Like everything feels like it could happen if Nintendo wanted it to.
Yeah. There's no moment where like Yoshi appears and just like flips someone off, you know?
Yeah, or Luigi jumps on top of someone and twists their head around.
Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna say, it's like it doesn't get to that Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom level where like Yoshis are biting people's heads off and stuff. Like, it's not gory, it's not excessively violent, it's just over the top.
Yeah, it is like, I kept thinking this, like, because I first saw this when I was like 15. Mm-hmm. If this had been around, especially the remake had been around when I was 12, 13, then it would have been my entire world.
That would have been your Dragon Ball Z.
I'd finish watching whatever dreadful episode of Dragon Ball GT was on, and then I'd go and like nag my sister to get off the computer so that I could watch some Mario Bros. Z. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we could have been watching Mario Brothers Z's Mario Brothers Super finale right now if only things had gone differently.
Oh
man!
Wow.
Yeah, look, Mario's got blue hair this time. Oh, the inciting incident of the whole thing. Right at the beginning, there's a cute little Goomba who's just walking along, finds a blue Chaos Emerald, and he's thinking, oh, I'm going to give this to Goombella to ask her out, because girls like jewels.
Mm.
Although, if someone presented me with, like, a Chaos Emerald, that, you know, that's at least worth a date.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but then... is it Metal Sonic or Mecha Sonic?
Metal Sonic.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Metal Sonic from Sonic CD.
Sonic CD.
Yeah, appears and just looms over the Goomba, and like in the remake, there's this great close up of Metal Sonic.
It's a custom. It's like a drawing. It's an actual fucking drawing.
Yeah, and it's like the most like. That moments like that are really Dragon Ball to me, because some of my favorite memories of Dragon Ball are when, before like the big fight stuff starts, like the villain of the arc is like just roaming around the Earth or roaming around planet Namek or something, just like terrorizing the locals.
Yeah,
and it was like Cell from the Cell Saga, like, you know, like roaming across Earth and just like meeting random people and like killing and or devouring them. It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Metal Sonic just absolutely murdered that Goomba.
Absolutely.
Let us head into some Flash.
So this series was made by a fellow by the name of Mark Haynes, a.k.a. Alvin Earthworm. He was born 1983 in Northampton, UK.
Oh, wow, okay.
He's from round here, is he?
Mm-hmm. The first episode he put up in 2006. I'm trying to see what else he had done, but I don't think he had that much else on Newgrounds besides this series. He did do some, like, little shorts before, a couple. And he also was an artist before and after the series was made, so... But under a different name. Let's see. I think the last original episode was 2012, and that was episode 9.
Wow. Still, like, 6 years to keep a series going.
I know.
Especially a series like this. You know, that takes some wherewithal.
It takes some dedication.
Yeah, and I think he spent a few years sort of not really doing much, because... my understanding, I don't really know too much of the details, because there's not a lot of information about this person online, outside of, like, Encyclopedia Dramatica, for various reasons, which is not a scholarly source at all.
No.
But my understanding is that he has some major health issues that sort of keep him from being able to like leave the house and work or anything. So
that's a shame.
Animation kind of became like his outlet, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, mentioned that he was and still is an artist. Like, what kind of stuff does he do?
I believe he was a furry artist originally.
Okay,
and maybe still is, but I don't know. But it's under a different name than the one that he made these cartoons under.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
that's smart.
Yeah. Because I remember I was looking through some of the comments for the videos, and like there are people like talking about his DeviantArt and like how he uploaded these flashes to SheezyArt.
Yeah.
SheezyArt being a mid 2000s alternative to DeviantArt.
I'm not aware of this.
Yeah,
that's why.
Imagine DeviantArt but smaller.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah,
that's easy to do.
Yeah,
and he
used to be active on DeviantArt, but I think he's deleted his account since then. He was never that active in Newgrounds either. Like, he would post the videos like once or twice a year. That's kind of it. And so I think it was a few years, and sometime around 2016 or 2015, he launched a Patreon specifically to make the remake series.
Right.
And he got the first one. I don't remember how much it was at the time, but I remember it being quite a bit of money. But it didn't last very long, because I think shortly after he put out this reboot that we watched, Nintendo shut down his Patreon account shut down for copyright infringement.
You know what? Like, when we were watching it, I was like, this is maybe the kind of thing I could see Nintendo coming after, but maybe they wouldn't, because it's not a game.
They did. And they also, I believe, they did a lot of like flagging on his YouTube channel where he started uploading his animations as well.
Which is...
And so, I think he tried later on to make another Patreon just for, like, just, you know, support me, not naming the series by name, but didn't last very long, because I think his health issues and depression about his general situation, he kind of put everything on the back burner.
That
makes sense, though.
Yeah, he's still active on Twitter. Like, he still plays games. He tweets a lot about the games that he's playing nowadays. I don't think he really talks about Super Mario Bros. Z anymore, because it's sort of something where, like, I think the last word he ever spoke of it was that he doesn't consider it dead, but it's like the least of his priorities right now. I think all in all, it's a story of a person who, you know, unlike the Bitey, basically a professional who went indie.
Yeah.
This is more of a labor of like love kind of thing. Like, this is a person who just doing it as a hobby and just sort of stuck to it for a long time, and life could have got in the way.
Yeah, life and the people that he was sending those love letters to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
It's fucked up.
Yeah. Nintendo.
Nintendo of America, if you're listening, stop listening. You're not allowed to listen anymore.
You're not invited.
Yeah.
He's still present. He's still around. Just, you know, not really working on this series anymore.
Well...
That's fair enough.
That is fair, but hopefully one day he gets the motivation to come back to it.
Yeah, because, like, honestly, like, we want more. It was really, it was genuinely, like, really, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember at the time the reboot came out, I had no idea he was making it. And so when it came out, I remember seeing it. I was like, oh, why? I thought this person was gone forever.
Shall we delve into some comments?
Absolutely.
So yeah, Dracula, if you want to start us off again, and then we will rotate.
I'm a fool for these sprite animations, Gonzo137.
Thank you, Gonzo.
That's Gonzo. Yeah. That was left nearly 10 years later.
Yes. No, that was left... That was left 11 years later.
Yes.
In 2017. And I'm really glad that there are still people who are fools for those sprite animations.
Same, to be honest.
Yeah.
Nappy Fox, which is a name which has a lot of implications, let's not get into that. Said, man, that was very well made. It's a great cross between DBZ and SMB. Very good camera shots. I love how you used the Diddy Kong Racing music. Diddy in all caps.
Yes.
I hope to see the next one soon. P.S. There are probably better reviews than this.
Reviews spelt wrong.
Yeah. I really like that Nappy Fox. You know, this review was posted on the day it was uploaded.
Yeah.
Nappy Fox, he's one of the first reviews. He's like, you know what? This really affected me. I want to say something about this. But he just lost his bottle at the end.
Aww, you know? Stick to your guns.
Yeah. Nappy Fox, if you're listening, write in. You sound cool.
Yeah. Marshall owns you. 4.5 out of 5. Well, pretty good. Keep going. That's what I hate about DBZ movies. Will blah 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 defeat Majin Buu? Find out in the next exciting episode of Dragon Ball Z. Lol. Good job.
Yeah, and like a lot of the comments were talking about how this felt really Dragon Ball-y.
Mm.
And there were definitely people complaining that there weren't enough fights in the first one.
That which, well, yeah.
Which would be fixed in the second one. SMBZ2. Dracula, if you want to take NM Productions.
Truly an honor to be one of the first reviewers. As a huge fan of both Dragon Ball Z and Mario Bros., I extremely enjoyed this Flash animation. I like how you incorporated the works of Bruce Falconer in your Flash, because the DBZ style wouldn't be the same without him. Sidebar, Bruce Falconer is the guy who composed the music for the American
Yes, I thought that's who it was.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho, great Flash, great topic. What? Sometimes turtles interrupt races. Keep up the good work, my friend. What's a great topic?
Well, I mean, over here in the UK, a topic is like a chocolate bar that you get in mini form in like a box of celebrations.
He's looking down at his dessert.
Everyone picks them out.
Yeah, no one likes topics. I don't even think they have them in celebrations.
Maybe he meant like maybe he meant that like he categorized it on Newgrounds well.
Oh,
you really got your tags good. You got your SEO. Good,
yes,
good job.
Alvin Earthworm is very good at algorithms. Okay, so 4 out of 5 stars from Notorious. Notorious said, "Lol, a Mario sprite movie about Dragon Ball Z? Haha, it makes me laugh when something that sounds so nerdy as Super Mario Bros. Z, a parody of Dragon Balls and Mario sprites, gets in the portal with such a high score. It wasn't that bad, though. I watched all of it, and even though I don't like sprites, this had some pretty good sprite work. I liked your blur for the fast movement parts. Plot was lacking, but that's something I don't really give a fuck about anyways. Still sounds pretty nerdy, though. Lol, Ruffle."
I don't really give a fuck, 4 out of 5.
I know.
It was kind of good, I guess. 4 out of 5.
It was better than most things. But who cares, really?
I know, right? Yeah, pretty nerdy. Lol, Ruffle.
Ruffle.
Comments from the remake. So, Alex, you want to start us off?
Green Sylveon 10 liked it a lot. 5 out of 5. This isn't epic. It's the next stage from epic. You've improved a lot since the first version of the first episodes. I can't wait for the reboot of the next chapters. Oh, 11 out of 10.
11 out of 10. What? And that was
wait.
That
they
was
said
left...
5 out of 5 above. Though.
They gave it the full official marks, but then they were like they wanted to give it one more than they actually could. So. Yeah.
I hope that the other 9 Green Sylveons agree.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Dracul, you're going to have to step away from the mic for the next one.
Okay, you want me to... Okay. This is from Jeremy X Universe. 5 out of 5.
Hell yeah, my childhood revived!
Yep, that works.
That was it.
And the last one we got here is
Ooh.
Not... Yeah. So, we've always got to look at some of the negative comments.
Okay.
And I found this one from Fronku, who gave it 2.5 out of 5, which on Newgrounds is basically like pouring...
Giving someone the finger.
Yeah, basically. And Fronku said, "I've thought a long time on this, and I believe my opinion of this iteration is too little too late, Alvin."
Calling out the author by name.
I know. "The timing is off on a lot of the gags this time around. A lot of the more impressive action scenes were stripped down compared to the original, in favor of higher resolution face shots and more obvious power level wanking with the fireball attacks this time around."
I didn't see any
wanking. Did he watch them in reverse and think the original was the good one?
As well, the focus on the 3D perspective, rather than sticking with a 2D plane for the most part, is jarring when bearing the animation style in mind.
Bullshit.
You should have...
Excuse me.
Whoa! Sorry!
Whoa! This, holy fuck!
This oh, last, God. Just this last paragraph. You should have stayed making furry porn. The original was superior in these regards, and most of who wanted to see more have moved on.
Wow.
Gosh.
Way to be a fucking dick.
Yeah. Honestly, Franku.
The whole, like, oh, why is there 3D in my 2D movie? What is this? That sounds like the sort of person who watches a movie and goes, 180 rule, sir.
Oh, fuck, I hate those people.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was... That was the majesty that was the Super Mario Bros. Z. I think we want to come back and explore the rest of that
oh
saga.
Oh god, yes.
Because, like, from what you've told... Yeah, from what Dracula's told us, it gets even cooler.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, each like, little arc, if you want to call it that, gets progressively more elaborately animated.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
The reboot is by far the best animated of all of them, but the later episodes of the original series did get pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I've heard the same thing about Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yes.
So
they just get sillier.
Yeah, I think we're probably just going to have to do like a sequels episode at some point.
I kind of prefer this to Rise of the Mushroom Kingdom, honestly.
Yeah, this is more wholesome.
Yeah, this is definitely more wholesome.
Yeah, I think, like, Rise definitely, I think, goes for the shock value of, oh, here's a Mario sprite murdering people.
Yeah.
Yeah, they both come from, because Alvin Earthworm was slightly older than
Randy Solem.
Randy Solem when he made this.
Much.
And just the difference of a few years between, like, a mid-teens and a late-teens person really shows in terms of what kind of Newgrounds tropes they embody.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there was no wait. In the first original two Mario Bros. Z, I don't think there was a single fart joke.
There wasn't.
But there was in the remake.
Even though Wario was
sticking
right
to
there.
His guns.
Yeah, I know. Wario was right there, and Wario didn't fart? This isn't getting
my... That's why Nintendo took it down. They were like, oh, no fart. They didn't watch it because they didn't know that Wario did make a fart joke. So they were like, this is the guy that made the thing where Wario didn't fart. Everyone knows Nintendo's corporate policy is if Wario is there, he is going
He's
to fart.
He's got to do a fart.
Have you heard the story that is literally... There's a rumor that is why Wario and Waluigi were not players 3 and 4 in New Super Mario Bros. Was because they... could not give Wario a fart attack because it would make him too different from the other players.
They could have just made that his basic jump.
I know. But they were unwilling to do that. He has to fart. It has to be an offensive fart. And so they said, if we can't...
As opposed to a really friendly fart. You know, a fart that's done with affection.
It has to be a fart that hurts people. So they were like, well, fuck it, two toads then, whatever.
Who gives a shit? It could be Peach and Daisy, but why fucking just two toads?
Well, what would Mario do then? Nintendo.
You know what, I hope in the next Mario game, everyone gets to fart. Right, I think that brings us to our closing remarks. We definitely don't have time for a mailbag this week.
No.
But if you folks listening do have any questions, comments, recommendations, keep sending in photos of cool puppies because that request from last time still stands.
Uh-huh.
And also keep sending in your theories about
who would win in a fight, Sonic, Mario, or Goku.
Yeah. If you have diagrams or essays prepared, even better.
Please.
But write into flashinthepancast@gmail.com. So, Drackle, where can people find you on the internet?
I am at Drackle on Twitter and Tumblr.
Yeah, that's Drakkel.
Mm-hmm. And you can also hear my dulcet tones on 6 Feet Under, a tabletop podcast.
Nice. That's 6 Feet with an A, Under.
Yes.
That's really cool. Alex, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter at Dexo1. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/VNDLP. And I also make music. If you like the intro theme, I composed a large bit of that, played all the guitars and stuff. All my music lives on alexvalentine.bandcamp.com.
And you can find me at Gertrude Perkins on Twitter. That's at Gertrude, P-R-K-N-S. And I also have a joke account, which is at non-articles. You can visit our website for links to all of the cartoons, as well as all of our episodes, at flashinthepancast.com. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Drackle, for being our wonderful guest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and until next time, remember to put your money where your moustache is.
Yeah. I'm so proud of that line.
And blam this piece of crap.
Flash in the Pancast!